Well, there you have it. Peter giving one of the first sermons of the church, and it is a doozy. I suspect that we have all heard that story of the wind and the tongues of flame and the dove and the crowds hearing the sermon in their own languages, just enough to believe that Pentecost is deliverance and celebration and victory and strength. And that would make sense, because the signs of Pentecost are mighty. Tongues of fire, a mighty wind, languages in every tongue, people understanding in new ways. Peter's sermon of the great and glorious day of the Lord's coming, which sounds just a little bit frightening to me. The spirit of the resurrected Jesus now is on earth to accompany us with signs of wonder and power. When the day of Pentecost arrived, there were people from all nations gathered in Jerusalem. The Spirit descended dramatically upon all the believers. The first gift of the Spirit was speech, propelling the believers out into the street to proclaim the word of God. And through the gift of speech, people heard the apostles speak in their own native language, telling of the wonderful things that God was doing. And that day, all cultural differences seemed to be erased. Peter raised his voice. That's the story of Pentecost. Wind, fire, noise, and clamor, confusion. And then someone raises his voice and starts to tell the story of hope, love, challenge, and truth. And then there's that, of course, immediate reaction, which we might expect, sneering and doubt, but more of interest and desire and welcome and hope and challenge. So yes, when we celebrate Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Spirit and the birthday of the church. But that's not all that has happened in the life and history of the church. There have been subsequent Pentecosts, according to the scripture, not called that, but in their way, a renewal of life in the church. We could appropriately call the flourishing of the monastic communities in the Middle Ages, the Reformation, the revivals of the First and Second Great Awakenings in North America as examples. We might be bold enough to name the heightened appreciation of hunger of the divine in our own age as a potential Pentecost in the making. As is kind of typical in the church, Peter's interpretation of the Pentecost event is nearly three times as long as the event itself. Preachers. He explains, then he offers proofs, and then the Joel prophecy serves as the authoritative interpretation of the Pentecostal event. So he tells that story and then he invites. It's a radical new community that is being formed at this moment. Peter says it's realized in the earliest Christian community. It's remarkably inclusive. It's gender inclusive, your sons and your daughters. It is age inclusive, your young people, your old people. It is class inclusive, your servants, both male and female. And if we are to take seriously the open, all people of the citation, then this community is also destined to be ethnically, religiously, and culturally inclusive. Disciples, using the only thing they had, lift their voices to tell the story, and the world begins to change. David Brooks wrote in a New York column several years ago, but I kept it. It was his challenge to new college graduates to eschew the American obsession with self-fulfillment and instead find themselves in service to others by making and keeping what he described as sacred commitments and rising to the challenges they discover all around and outside of them. Most successful young people, he writes, don't look inside and then plan a life. They look outside and find a problem, which summons their life. Most people don't form a self and then lead a life. They are called by a problem, and the self is constructed gradually by their calling. I think that's especially true for communities of faith in this day and age. Some recent developments in our community, I don't know if you saw, But there have been voices raised in our community and from this congregation and this community of faith. Recently, TCAPS allowed the decorating of graduation caps through with beading and other religious and culturally significant items, as long as they stayed within the guidelines. And that was because people raised their voices. Jessica Forster, who's the new head of SALT, wrote an email and said, because you raised your voices, because that board made a decision. And so this comes from our BIPOC communities of faith and from our Indigenous communities of faith, that we stood alongside them and lifted up this concern, and things changed. There was another meeting in town. The Planning Commission held an informational meeting about rentals in this community. Protesters arrived to say we don't want rentals, saying that those people were noisy and dirty. There is much discussion to be had around this. As a renter myself, I'm not sure that that always applies, and I don't think it applies at all. And the SALT community meeting will be held here on Tuesday to discuss the pressing needs of housing in this community. We are called to raise our voices with those who cannot or are unable to. We can lift our voices along with people of every faith, calling out for justice and mercy and righteousness and truth. I have seen actions in this congregation that give me great joy that Pentecost is happening all the time. Maya Angelou, as a young girl, was assaulted by a neighbor. And when she told her brother, the brother told her other community members, and they in turn assaulted that man and killed him. She believed as a young girl that this was her fault. And so she stopped speaking for 5 years. But fortunately, teachers, kind people around her, encouraged her to find her voice and to begin speaking and writing. And you know, as well as I, that 7 volumes of her biography were not enough to contain the fullness of her story. She writes, "There I go rising." She lifted up her voice for countless others. She lifted up her voice so that we might share in the experience which we had no knowledge of, that we could learn and grow and change. The Celtic Christians chose the wild goose as a symbol representing the Holy Spirit. Anyone been around a wild goose lately? It's a clamorous bird. I think there's something in that. And the word itself for Holy Spirit, paraclete, advocate, literally means to call to one side. The noun took on a legal meaning as helper in court. Thus, we have translations like counselor or advocate or one who speaks for another. That is our task at Pentecost. That is our task as the church. And we continue. We will lift up our voices to sing praises to one who has meant so much to us in these past years. I sat in the back just earlier in the service and watched as Angela directed the choir, saw her face light up as she pointed to them, brought in each section, and then, I don't know if you see this, but at the end of every anthem, she signs the words for thank you. Thank you. And so, for you who have lifted up your voices in solidarity with those who could not speak, thank you. For you who have spoken up for those who have no voices, thank you. For you who have spoken up when it took courage to do so, when being silent was easier, thank you. For all of you who have gotten up the courage to state your faith aloud and to speak the truth wherever you find it, thank you. Amen.